number 5 this morning, Luke chapter number 5. And I want to look at verses 1 through 11 with you this morning, Luke chapter number 5, verses 1 through 11. You ever have to do something you didn't want to do? I feel like the story that we're going to look at this morning is exactly what Peter was going through. The Lord told Peter, listen, I want you to go out into the deep and put your nets down. And Peter didn't want to do it. He said, no, I don't really want to do that. And so I want to preach on that thought this morning, doing what you don't want to do, from Luke chapter 5. Let's look at verse number 1 now, verse number 1 through 11. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Church, I mean, could we read this responsibly? It's only 11 verses long. I think it'd be good for us this morning. And so let's pick it up together. Let's read together responsively. Verse number 2. And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. I'll read verse 3. It says, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship together. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Together, verse 11. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's ask the Lord's blessing now on his word. Father, thank you that you have referred to your word as the bread of life. Lord, may we eat that this morning, spiritually speaking. Father, help us have an understanding heart. May we make application to what you give us. Now, Father, help those this morning, however it needs to be applied, things in life that we don't, spiritual things especially, that we don't want to do. Help us, Father, to do them. You've got a purpose and a plan. Help us not to miss that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, the one thing about being a parent is you see things a whole lot differently than your children do. You know, sometimes your kids, you tell them to do something and they don't see things through your eyes because obviously they have not lived long enough to understand why you're asking what you're asking. But you know in your mind, and it, to a degree, you even see the bigger picture. This is going to be good for you. I mean, you tell your kids, I want you to make your bed and pick up your dirty clothes. And to them, they think, you know, that's just such a hard job. But you're trying to teach them character on how to take care of yourself so everybody else doesn't have to take care of you. I think some of our kids, even in our church, I think that they feel like that mom is a full-time maid and that when they get married, it's going to be the same. Don't they have a rude awakening? There's other things that we teach our children. And they said, listen, you don't do this. My father growing up, I think there's some things that I remember as we got later in life that he said, you know, I wish I would have taught you this or this. And I think sometimes we look back and say, man, I really wish I would have stressed that as our kids get older so that they would really learn from that. But let's face it, a lot of the things that we make our kids do, they don't want to do them. All right. They don't want to get up at a certain time. They don't want to go to school. They don't want to do chores. There's just that part of them. And by the way, part of human nature, there's just certain things that we don't want to do. I find that the same in the spiritual life of Christians. There's things that we know that we ought to do, but we get that idea of, well, I really don't want to do that. And you know, when you become an adult and you don't have a parent over the top of you telling you to do what you're supposed to do, we have a tendency just not to do those things. Can you picture the story for just a moment here about Peter and Jesus? The Bible says that Peter had spent all night fishing. How many fishermen in here do we have? How many of you have that kind of tenacity you would spend all night fishing? Any of you like that? All right, there's a couple of you that are weird. And I just would not do that. You know, I've had, when I first started fishing, I just could not get over it that you sit there and you just look at the bobber and wait for the bobber to go down. It just doesn't go well with me. I'm not patient enough to wait for the fish to decide he's hungry. Hey, can I just tell you that as a Christian, there's certain things that, you know, we should do whether we want to or not. And here's Peter in his life. He's with Jesus. And of course, he spent all night fishing. He caught nothing. Now think about that. All night you've been up. You're tired. And then all of a sudden, Jesus walks up and he's talking to those that are along the shore of Gennesaret. And he begins to teach them. And he says, hey, Peter, I'm going to take your boat out.
And so Peter gets in the boat with Jesus Christ, and then Jesus begins to teach, and we don't know how long Jesus taught. So here you have, first of all, Peter's been up all night. Then you have, second of all, Peter is trying to be a good independent Baptist church member sitting in the boat listening to Jesus. And I'm just telling you, for being up all night, he was tired and he was having a hard time paying attention. And I'm not reading into it. I'm just telling you that when Peter's response was really birthed out of his physical condition, when Jesus told him, listen, launch out into the deep. Let's just read a couple more verses here. Look at verse number 4. It says, now when he had left speaking, talking about Jesus speaking to those on the shore, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, plural, for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net, singular. But you're saying, Peter didn't do what God told him to do. Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. And all he says is, okay, I'll do what you want. But he just let down a net, not nets, because Jesus is very specific as far as what he said. We understand that when you look at Peter's life here, that, again, he didn't want to. Now, we can surmise to a degree, why did not Peter want to do what Jesus told him to do? Why do you not do what Jesus tells you to do? Peter, in his response, I think part of the reason that Peter did not do what he was supposed to do or what he should have done, he didn't want to do it because he's tired. He was physically tired, and sometimes we get physically tired. You came to church this morning, and some of you are already yawning this morning. Don't worry, I'll only be another hour or two. You know, we have that tendency that when we're tired, that we don't really do what we're supposed to do because of us being physically tired. And that's exactly what happened to Peter. Peter was tired after being up all night, then listening to Jesus preach a sermon for however long, then going out, then dropping a net. He's tired. He doesn't want to put down nets, plural. He doesn't want to do all that work after he knows he didn't catch any. I think not only that he was tired, I think the possibility that he said, listen, I've already tried this. How many times Christians say to themselves, well, I've already tried reading my Bible and it doesn't work for me. Listen to me. Reading your Bible always works. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It's the word of God that causes you to have the faith that you need as a Christian. Not for instance, I'm talking about salvation. Though the word of God brings salvation. I'm talking about as a Christian to help you grow in your faith. You need the word of God. Amen. These people that say, well, I don't read the Old Testament because it's not applicable. Every word of God is pure. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Old Testament is just as important as the New Testament. The genealogies are just as important as the miracles and parables of Christ. It's important. Why? Because it's the word of God. And I'm just trying to say, you can have that same tendency that Peter had. I've tried that before. It doesn't work. I'm just trying to tell you, it does work. You know why it works? Because Jesus said to. You might say to yourself, I don't do the soul winning thing. The soul winning thing. Can I explain what the soul winning thing is? It's trying to keep somebody out of hell. That's the soul winning thing. If you're saved this morning and you know for sure you're on your way to heaven, and then somewhere in your life you realized you were a sinner, bound for hell, needing a Savior, and that Savior was Jesus Christ. You're not going to heaven because you come to church. You're not going to heaven because you've been baptized or live a good life or keep the Ten Commandments or treat others like you want to be treated. The only way a person gets to heaven, as Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I got saved in church. You might have put your faith in Christ at home or camp or work. I don't know, but hopefully there's been a time in your life that you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so now that you're saved, what? Then you should tell others how they can be saved. You should be a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You should give your testimony. I don't know all the right words. You don't need the right words. There's only one right Jesus. That's all you got to do. How hard is it for you to take a gospel tract and say, hey, listen, this has got some Bible verses in there. It tells you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. How hard is that? How hard is it to take one of the smiley tracts and say, let me give you a smile? How hard is that? How hard is it for the people that you know and that you love, that you don't want to spend one second in hell and be there for eternity, that you would not give your own testimony? I was in a church service. I was at home. I was at a camp. And for the first time in my life, I realized that I was a sinner. Because of my sin, I deserved to go to hell. But Jesus loved me and died for me. And I asked Jesus to save me. How hard is that? No, it's the soul winning thing. I don't do that thing because I don't have the gift of gab. Believe me, you can gab about what you want to gab about. You want to gab about your favorite sports team? It's okay. You want to gab about how things are going at work? It's okay. You want to gossip about other church members? It's okay. You ought to gab about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been very gracious to us. There are things in the scripture. I always talk about the five basic things of the Christian life. It's read your Bible, pray, go to church, give, and tell people about Jesus Christ. To me, those are basic. God's general will for my life. If I got to do God's general will, he shows me his specific will. But there's some times in my life I don't like doing it. I don't want to do the things I know I'm supposed to do as a Christian, and sometimes even in family situations. I don't want to do that. I'm kind of curious how long it took for you to teach your children as they were growing up, how long it took you to teach them to say no. 10 years? 15? It take you a long time to get them to that place where you could get them to understand. Now, this is what the word no means. It means that you really don't want to do what I'm telling you to do. I just want to try to go through this with you. I hope you understand that eventually it's going to come about that you're not going to do everything I say. It's going to come about that you're not going to want to do what I'm telling you to do. It's called the word no. Do you do that? You're an idiot if you do. We don't teach our children to say the word no because they already have the word no inside of them. If I don't want to do something, I just don't do it. Hey, can I just tell you that Peter did not want to set the nets down. Peter did not want to go back out to the deep. Peter had just already been up all night. He didn't want to put the nets back down. But he simply did what Jesus did. But he was being disobedient because God said the nets and he won't put down the net. He was not only being disobedient, but his unbelief in his life. He didn't believe that Jesus knew what he was talking about. Can you imagine Peter? Peter thought to himself, I am a fisherman. You are a carpenter. Peter could have said by his own admission, thoughtfully, he could have said it out loud, but he could have just in his own mind, Jesus don't know what he's talking about. All he can do is play with wood. I'm the one that know the fish. I'm closest to them. Can I just tell you that Peter did not want to obey the Lord? Peter half-heartedly, half-obediently puts out a net, and then Jesus shows who God is, and the Bible says that two boats filled of fishes. I want to just give you some thoughts this morning, quickly this morning on, you know, why do you do what you don't want to do? In other words, in the Christian life, what's the reason? Why do I have to do these things? And can I just tell you, in a family situation or home situation, as we raise our children, there are things that our kids don't want to do, but it's good for them to do it. We know in our mind why it's good for them. Can I just tell you, your Heavenly Father knows why it's good for you. Why is it good for you to be in church regularly? Because God knows. He's your Heavenly Father. There's reasons for that. I want to just point out some things quickly in the story here that's interesting to me. Is why should we do what we don't want to do? The same reason Peter should have done what he didn't want to do. Because number one, God wants to teach us a lesson. Just for me, think about the lesson for Peter. Peter had several lessons in this thing is the Lord speaking to them. But I think that God was Jesus was showing Peter that he knew where the fish was. In other words, Peter thought he was the fisherman. He knew where they were all, but he showed them that truly Jesus knew. I think also it showed that Peter, he was a sinner. In this passage here, finally, Peter comes to himself. He bends the knees of Jesus Christ and says, I am a sinful man. It brought Peter to that place in his life where he admitted his sinfulness. The last verse that we looked at in verse number 11, it says they, talking about the disciples, Peter included, they forsook all and followed him. I think the lesson that Peter learned was that he needed to be fully consecrated or committed to God. There were things that Jesus was trying to teach Peter that Peter didn't see, but Jesus was God. Can I just tell you, there's things that Jesus, our Heavenly Father, is trying to teach us in our life, and we're going through things in our life of things that we don't want to do. But why do we do those things? Because the Holy Spirit of God, God Himself, is trying to teach us these lessons in our life that we're only going to learn when we have to go through those difficult times of doing things we don't want to do. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs in chapter 20, verse 24, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Just remember, it is impossible for you to know why you're going through what you're going through except to trust God that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. The lessons of life we must learn. Think about it, church family. David had to become a fugitive before he became a king. David had to face off with King Saul because Saul wanted to kill him. But God had David go through those years of being a fugitive so that God could prepare him to be the king that he was. There's things that we don't want to do, but we do those things. Why? Because God wants to teach us lessons in our life. The question is, are you up to the lessons? Are you willing to accept what the Lord's trying to teach you? You know, I like it when my kids, they give me their will and say, okay, if that's what you think, yeah, that's what I'll do. Whether they like it or not, or whether they can understand it or not. Can I just tell you, your Heavenly Father's the same way. He just wants to know whether you're going to yield yourself to Him and say, okay, God, whatever you want, that's what I want. There's lessons to be learned. Why? Why do I do things I don't want to do? Simply because God wants to teach us things. Second of all, I think this interesting verse number 7 is because obedience yields blessing.
Just remember, in this story, would you look at your Bible again? I just want to read it with you, if you don't mind. Verse 6, it says, "And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, and they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink." You ever thought about Peter was able to see a great miracle simply because he did something he didn't want to do? He didn't want to put the nets down, but because he put the net down, not plural, but because he put the net down, he got to see a miracle. He was out there all night, caught nothing, and all of a sudden, there are so many fishes now, the other greatness of this, or blessing, two boatfuls of fish. I don't know for sure why Peter was fishing, except for the sense, yes, it was his trade, but I'm sure it was so that he could have an income. It was so that he could eat. God blessed in a tremendous way. Why? Because he did something he didn't want to do. Hey, you know, when it comes to our children, we know that our children, the things that we're teaching them and trying to get them to do, will help them later in life. Obedience brings blessing. The Bible says this about Samuel. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight," talking to Saul, "hath great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Noah obeyed and built an ark and saved his family. Jonah obeyed and saved the city. We understand when we look at different people's lives, their obedience brought blessings in their life. David became king. Joseph becomes governor. All of these things took place because there was obedience in their life. Tomorrow morning, the alarm clock's going to go off. And you know as well as I do, that if you don't get up, you don't have your devotions. Your day's going to start with your work, and your job starts at 7 or 8 or whatever time it starts. And you know that the reason you set the alarm clock earlier is not just to get ready physically, but it's to get ready spiritually. And so many times we allow the alarm clock to go off and we don't get out of bed to be able to spend ample amount of time with the Lord Jesus before we end up meeting another. And guess what? It's because we do what we want to do, not do what we're supposed to do. There are things that we should do even if we don't want to do them. I want to tell you why. Because there's great blessing that comes with obedience. When we obey God, God blesses us. When we disobey God, God chastises us. Doing what you don't want to do. Sometimes we do what we don't want to do because God wants to teach us a lesson. Sometimes we do what we don't want to do because obedience brings a blessing. I want you to see one more thing that's interesting in verse number 10 of this passage. Look at verse number 10. Here's what he says. And so was also James and John, sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." I think in verse number 10, there's two things. What are the three fellows that are mentioned there? It's the inner circle. Peter, James, and John. Simon is mentioned, but Peter is Simon. We understand that Peter, James, and John was the inner circle. We understand they were the ones that got to see most or all the miracles of Christ, whereas all the other disciples did not. We understand that Peter, James, and John was with the Lord Jesus Christ in Gethsemane before he went to the cross. These guys were extra blessed, if I can say that. We see that Jesus said, "Now, you're not going to catch fish. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men." I really sometimes, why do we do what we don't want to do is because there's a bigger job ahead. There's something else that we seemingly think that the job we're doing seems so small, but it's that small job that prepares us for the bigger job. Catching fish doesn't seem like a big deal, but catching men is. You can put a hook in the water all you want, you're going to bring up a fish, but I want to tell you something. You give somebody the gospel, you're going to keep somebody out of hell. So what was Jesus trying to do with Peter? Even though Peter didn't want to put the net out, he needed to put the net out. Why? Because it prepared him for a bigger job. Hey, there's things that you're going to have to do in your life, spiritually speaking, that you're not going to want to do. But I want to tell you, you've got to trust the Lord. You have to understand that obedience brings blessing. You have to understand that those smaller jobs that you're doing now prepares us for the bigger jobs later. Can you see David taking care of the sheep and the lion and the bear come along? He had no idea that the lion and the bear was only to prepare him for Goliath. Amen. There are bigger things in our life that if we're not careful, we are going to miss in our life. Moses was on the backside of the desert for 40 years watching sheep so that the next 40 years he could watch people. That he could lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt into the promised land. And why did that happen? Because God prepared him for that. God prepared him for that. Listen, I don't know about you, but when you knock on a door or when you talk to somebody, "Hello, my name's Scott, this is John," we're trying to we invite them to church first, but more important than church, know for sure going to heaven, we try to witness to people. Sometimes it's a difficult thing. Not everybody wants to hear the gospel. Not everybody wants to sometimes laugh it off. Sometimes people don't want to hear. There are, but God knows the ones whose heart is prepared that you can witness to. Can I just tell you, those harder things of our spiritual life, sometimes God gives us smaller things in order to prepare for those larger things.
So, yes, he didn't want to cast out the net, and he surely didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. But can I just tell you, by him not wanting to do what God wanted him to do, allowed God to teach him a lesson, allowed God to give more blessing in his life, and allowed God to prepare him. Just tell me, Peter would be on the day of Pentecost witnessing, and 3,000 people would get saved. That was a whole lot more people than there were fish that day on the Lake of Gennesaret. I talk to sometimes young people, and young people, they get that sour attitude. I don't like the rules. I don't like the Christian life. I don't like them to be in church. Hey, I want to tell you something. There are many things that you don't want to do, but again, God knows what's best for us, and it's those things that's going to make you what you are as a Christian. There are people today who live for themselves. They don't live for God, and I want to tell you why. Because earlier in their life, they were allowed to just do what they wanted to do, not what God wanted them to do. And whenever something got difficult in their life, they said, I'm just not going to do that. There are difficult things in our life that we need to do. Why? Because it prepares us for what God wants in our life. The Christian life cannot be all mountains. The Christian life is a mixture of mountains and valleys. And when we go through those valleys in our life, I'm just trying to tell you the things that you don't want to do is because God's trying to do something in your life. You need to look at it that way. On both sides of the auditorium, there's the word committed. If you'll notice that on the verse that's following, it's actually Luke chapter 5, verse number 11. The last phrase of Luke 5, verse number 11, that is on both of these banners on both sides of the auditorium says, they forsook all and followed him. Shishimi, do you know why the disciples, Peter included, came to a place in his life that he's willing to forsake all? Because he did something he didn't want to do and he was able to see the outcome of it. What would have happened if God told Peter, Jesus told Peter, I want you to cast out, go out into the deep and cast out and put down the nets. And he said, Jesus, I'm not doing that. I've already done that. He had missed out on 2 boatloads of fish. He had missed out on the miracle. And he missed out on being committed. Because it was that miracle, that time in his life, that he did what he didn't want to do, that God said, okay, now, follow me. And the Bible says, what'd they do? They forsook all and followed him. Hey, if you're going to get to that next level of your Christianity as far as what God wants to do in your life, you have to be committed to him. That God, I'm willing to do whatever you want, not what I want. And even if I don't like doing it, I'm going to do it regardless. And it doesn't matter what it is. I want to do what the Lord wants in my life. I hope tonight, this morning, that you can say, as is on the wall, as our theme is this year, committed. What is being committed? Placing yourself actually in the hands of another, letting God have control of your life. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for a moment this morning? The first question is simply this. Do you know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven? That's the most important thing. If you can say, Pastor, there's been a time in my life that I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I know that I'm saved. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? I know that I'm saved. Thank you so much. We put your hands down. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let me ask the other side of that question. How many say, Pastor Hanks, I'm not for sure, but I would like to know that. Would you at least pray for me? I'm not for sure. If I die today, I go to heaven, but I'd like to know that. Anybody like that at all this morning? Christian, this morning, I think the last question is really, are you committed? Are you willing to forsake all and follow him? Or are the tough things you just decide, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do the simple. You know, they are simple. Read your Bible, pray, go to church, give, and tell somebody about Jesus. They are simple. They really are. But we kind of in our flesh decide, you know, that's too difficult. I'm not doing those things. Can I just tell you, you're missing out on the lessons that the Lord wants to give to you. You're missing out on the blessing that comes with obedience. And you're missing out on the bigger jobs that the Lord wants for your life just simply because I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. Don't be a child. Be a mature Christian. God, I'm willing to do whatever you want. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Pianist is playing. If God spoke to your heart, you need to use the altar. Would you come? Would you take a few moments this morning, talk to the Lord this morning? If you're not for sure that you're saved this morning, would you come? Would you let someone take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure?